Jesus, the Mediator of the New Covenant. Commentary for the February 19, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. Revelation 3:20. Have you ever been watching a football game and your team is inside the 10-yard line with less than a minute of game time remaining? It is 1st and 10, and a field goal will not win the game. Only a touchdown will do. The quarterback begins calling the signals, and your doorbell rings. As you head for the door, you hear the crowd cheering behind you for the play that won the game, the play you missed, only to find a door-to-door salesperson offering a service you have no use for. Though the salesperson is only trying to make a living, we harden our hearts and the no solicitor sign goes up the next day. Our relationship to Jesus may be like that. He stands knocking, but we either just do not have the time or the desire to open the door. We may tell ourselves that we would, but every time we shut someone out, we are doing so to Jesus. The parable of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25 reveals that whether we open the door or keep it closed fast, we will not realize we are doing it to Jesus, just that it is only another person in need of our attention. It can be hard to set our own plans aside for someone else, but Jesus' death on the cross epitomized that idea. Despite the love that breached that immense gulf between humanity and the ineffable glory of God, he humbled himself beyond all measure to restore what has all but disappeared for humanity. But after doing so, he often finds the door shut to him and impervious to his gentle knocking. It is ironic that the one who created the trees that went to make the door should allow that wood to bar him from our lives. But metaphorically, it illustrates that his love is so great for us that he will not force us to love him in return. We like to believe we are loving one another like Jesus asked, but divorce statistics tell a different story, with just under 50% of marriages ending in divorce. For this reason, and general lack of love for one another, a burgeoning legal profession has grown to guide us through all the legal ins and outs of our hatred for one another. It is not surprising that the wall of lawyers surrounding the wealthy, from elected government officials to corporate officers, is as effective at facilitating indifference and aloofness as the metaphorical door excluding Christ. But they are not alone. God's professed followers have done an excellent job at exclusion as well. While Jesus invites all who would come, I have seen churches circle their wagons to exclude those who do not dress right, who do not like the right kind of music, or who are needy and poor. They will even cite scripture to support their discrimination. But like Jesus at the door, they refuse to let into their hearts scripture that would challenge that discrimination. We fail to understand that looking for scripture to confirm our prejudices is not Bible study. It is simply looking for more bricks to wall up our hearts toward others. Often texts used in this way come from the Pentateuch, and that reflects a time when men's hearts were very hardened. The Bible attests to this through the sacrificial system set up under Aaron and the Levitical priesthood. Vast herds of animals died, terrified, bloody deaths for centuries to atone for the evil that never seemed to entirely abate. The human heart tends to abuse such systems. Instead of seeing the abhorrence of evil, they see penance as a get-out-of-jail-free card. In other words, if animals have to die so I can go to heaven, that is a price I am willing to pay. A form of this continues with a modern-day confessional, with its ritualistic penance and absolution. The priests who condone this have more in common with Levites than with Christ. Even though he is credited for setting it all up, God detests such manipulation of an opportunity for a fresh start. He desires mercy, not sacrifices. First stated by the prophet Hosea, Jesus quoted this thought twice in the Gospel of Matthew. Strangely, only in Christ's death upon the cross do we see reference to the innocent dying because of sin. And even though he is called the Lamb of God, we see no reference to the innocence of the myriad lambs slaughtered because of our perfidy toward God and our fellow human beings. Isaiah revealed that God abhors the way we treat one another while claiming to be doing what Scripture demands. He points out ways we should care for others, never basing it on their worthiness. Their need alone is the criteria. Not only do we continue evil behavior to one another, but we have the cheek to believe that the sacrificial system makes it okay. If we feel tempted to believe this does not apply to us because the sacrificial system ended with the crucifixion, we are not safe because we can do the same thing with Calvary. We can engage in the fallacious idea that we can abuse others, and just like those Old Testament miscreants, we can sacrifice a lamb, in this case, Jesus, and we will be back in the Christ Club in good and regular standing. But we are deceiving ourselves. It was never about the sacrifices. Those Levitical sacrifices could not take away our sins. But Christ's sacrifice hit us square in the face and did for us what those animal sacrifices could not do. It revealed the lengths to which we were willing to go to avoid opening our hearts to God and our fellow human beings. We would even slay God himself to avoid that. We are wretched human beings. We talk of war as though it is nothing to violently sweep all our enemies into a bloody grave. Even when we do not have the power to take their lives, we murder them with our words, either directly to their face, pushing for violent confrontation, or by character assassination behind their back. Every person we would do this to is Christ, re-crucified, with our tongues or our fists, driving the nails hard and fast. Sadly, perhaps because of jealousy, the last thing some want to allow another human being is hope and peace. But it does not have to be that way. Our hearts may be like granite. We may lose ourselves in narcissistic pursuits, but in the quiet moments, the knocking persists. We may have disconnected the doorbell. We may have turned up the noise and activity in our lives so that we cannot hear the gentle knock. But despite all that, whether we hear it or not, it persists. Parcel delivery services may do all they feel they can do to deliver a package to our door, but none has the persistence of Jesus. Porch pirates cannot steal what he offers because he stands there until someone opens the door, however long it takes. He does this because what he brings is more precious than winning the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes. It does not come with fanfare or balloons. It comes quietly on the wings of the Holy Spirit. What is this precious gift? For it is a gift. We do nothing to earn it. We only open the door to receive it. Ezekiel tells us it is spiritual cardiac surgery. We give God our stony, hardened heart, and he gives us a heart of flesh. God created us in his image, loving and compassionate. But we have made ourselves like flint. Restoring to us a heart like creation caused to beat in our chest will provide fertile ground for compassion, empathy, and love to grow. It is not like Jack's magic beanstalk that grew up overnight, but new shoots will soon be evident. Humanity once erred and lost its place in the Garden of Eden. But that garden can still grow in our hearts. The soil of Eden still exists in hidden corners of our being, ready to respond to the light of God's presence to nurture rebirth and new growth. Although we may not currently walk its verdant pathways, the peace of Eden can still exist in our hearts. The knocking persists. Who will open the door so that the Holy Spirit can breathe into their hearts the smells, sounds, and sights of Eden to remind us of where we are from and to light the pathway home? We have wandered so long through harsh, dry, and desolate places, squabbling over what little this world offers us. It offers so much tinsel and glitter and hope of wealth and fame, but as we age and our bodies crumble under the weight of repeated heartaches and disease, as we become inured to any idea of hope in this tormented world, we discover the lie we have bought into, the lie that this world is all there is, so grab all you can before you die. We are all citizens of a better place, and the Underground Railroad is waiting to take us from slavery to freedom. Do you hear the knocking? Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the footnotes for supporting references for this podcast and the written form of the commentary at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find hundreds more commentaries at that location. May God richly bless you and your family.